Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, man?
Yeah. You like the triple B's?
You caught me off guard there. And yeah. I like almost mimicked you. I was like, but then I was like, what's up? So anyway, that just happened twice.
So welcome, Masters of Modern. Today is going to be cool. We're going to be talking about some fun stuff. It's going to be our year in review episode. We do these every year. And we're going to talk about all this cool stuff that happened in Magic, Masters of Modern, Modern in general.
What a year it has been.
2016.
So we're like 100, correct me if I'm wrong here, what is this, like 112 or something like that?
113.
113 episodes?
Technically, after 109, because we moved to Collected Company and they don't really use episode numbers, I stopped putting episode numbers in.
Which means we're in the third year of content? Is that really true?
We are in the third year. We have done 2 years.
We've done this podcast for 2 years.
Two plus years. Yeah, yeah.
Wild. Yeah. That's wild stuff.
Yeah. Thanks, we're actually, we just kind of passed the Ben Bateman Joy of the Podcast. So you've done it officially now also for 2 years.
Over 2 years.
Yeah, before, yeah, yeah. Cool. All right. So before we get into all of that goodness, let's talk about some Magic news. Today in Magic news, this weekend, SCG Modern Classic Atlanta happened. That was kind of the only modern major tournament. There were a bunch of IQs, which I don't count. The really big thing, Dredge won, continuing its dominance of the format right now. But interesting facts, two Sun and Moon decks, also known as the Red-White Prison Control decks, took the place. And that's called Sun and Moon because it's playing Blood Moon, and my favorite card. And Plains, or maybe possibly the Sun Champions in the sideboard.
Yes, the Elspeth Sun's Champions.
Though more it's the plane symbol is a...
Is a sun.
Is the sun. And then, you know, there's the Blue Moon decks. It's kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a cool deck. So there's that's going on.
Took two slots. And then Slivers hit third place.
Yeah, and this is a deck
played by Bradley George.
This is a deck that people have been working on for a while. So around the time the Collected Company got spoiled and people started building with it and it became an Elves deck and all of those things, there was a lot of variations on Collected Company decks. One of the main ones was a Slivers deck, and it got some attention back then. This is... at least the first time in recent memory that I can remember a top eight of a major tournament involving the Collected Company Slivers deck. But the thing that always happens when you try to build the Slivers deck is that this is it. You look at Sinew Sliver, which is Muscle Sliver in white, and then you look at the green one, and you're like, great. I have, and then you're like, oh, but I really want to play Sedge Sliver because it's like the other sweeter version of those cards. And then you're like, well, that means I have to play all the colors. So then this deck gets a little problematic. But they made it work, and it's awesome. And it looks really cool. It's a cool list. So I'm a fan. I mean, it plays four Collected Company and four Ether Vial, which is
good.
The base for like a lot of these like tribal.
I'm actually surprised how many of these cards have new cards, new slivers, all of the predator-looking ones that aren't as sweet-looking as old slivers. The new ones are powerful too. To round it up, Green White Tron got second place. Ad Nauseam got fifth. Death Shadow Zoo got sixth place, and Jund rounded out the 9th, 10th, and 11th slot.
Death Shadow Zoo being titled Zoicide here.
Jeskai Flash got fourth place, so that's two.
Jeskai Flash. It's like it seems like the format's pretty healthy. I mean, aside from Dredge being very busted, anytime that there's a deck like Dredge that is like public enemy number one and does something on a really unfair axis and it takes first place in a major tournament, you always have to be a little bit like, uh-oh, because you know that everybody's got sideboard hate for that deck. You know,
right.
Everybody's like gunning for it, and game two should be able to beat it or have a good shot at it. And if it still wins the tournament, then...
Well, that's why I think Infect had such problems in this tournament versus Dredge, because I think that's kind of the world we live in. And if you look at the other decks in this format, they're all kind of Infect resistant versus Dredge, where they're a little bit harder, maybe Dredge matchups. So that was the SCG Modern Classic Atlanta. The only other piece of big news was that we got a bunch of Aether Revolt spoilers kind of out there. We're not going to get too into it because we like to save the bulk of that for when we do our set review in January. One thing I do want to mention is we did get one of the new mechanics that will be added, and it's Improvise, which is Convoke for artifacts.
That's right. I did see that. Yep. And we got Blue Void Slime, which is fun.
Which is sweet. I mean, it feels like a mechanic that very possibly could be broken, but we'll find out.
Yes, mana reducers are exciting and always tenuous in terms of power level because they're easy to break.
Yep.
I was having a conversation with somebody the other day over at Machinima when I was going to drop some stuff off, and we were talking about magic, and he was sort of being like, oh, it's interesting. Like, we were comparing it to Hearthstone and the design aspect of it. And I was explaining to one of the guys in his office who was asking about the history of magic design. And I was like, well, yeah, you have these sets in the beginning in the first few years, and you have to kind of compare Hearthstone's design to that. You have to realize that they're still in the early stages of this game, whereas Magic's got 23 years of design, so it's easier for them to not make mistakes. But then I was like, however, sometimes those mistakes happen because you look at Ancestral Recall, you look at Treasure Cruise, they're not as far off as you think. I was like, they're just not.
Yeah. Well, part of it is you need to make exciting cards. I'm always encouraging of Wizards to take risks. I like, for instance, and we'll talk a lot about this today, is the Eldrazi, specifically the Oath of the Gatewatch Eldrazi, you know, were a risk. They knew Eye of Ugin was in the format of Modern. They knew that these would be really powerful, but I'd rather them do these sweet, cool new cards, making basically a six color of Magic, allowing them to push them, than had been resistant or you know, unwilling to make sweet cards. So
yep.
I'm always in favor of powerful sweet cards that you can ban later than the reverse.
Cool.
And the one other thing with the spoiled cards is we got the I actually thought it was only going to be once per block, not once per set, but we got the intro decks, which are these new Planeswalker decks that have like brand new Planeswalkers just for those. Those are spoiled, the Planeswalkers as well.
But they're lower powered Planeswalkers.
Correct. Though these are way better than the last ones. They're 6 mana, but
yeah.
Tezzeret literally has a minus that does 4 mana Tezzeret's ultimate, or it's half of Tezzeret's ultimate.
Sweet.
Dome someone for how many artifacts you control.
Yeah,
like,
I
can kill someone.
Those last ones were like painfully underpowered.
Did you hear what I did this weekend?
What?
Because, you know, there's the whole standard showdown thing happening. Yeah, yeah. So I went to Heidi Ho just to hang out because I had nothing to do on Saturday. And they're like, oh, standard showdown's happening, but we only have 6. So we need 2 people. Me and some guy that I was jamming Modern with were like, okay, we don't have standard decks. They're like, well, I don't know what to do. So he bought the Nissa and I bought the Chandra intro decks. And I just threw in some rares. I had like 2 Nahiris and Avacyn like a few of the vehicles that I just had, and just threw them in the deck because it's a red-white vehicle deck, and got to the finals.
Sweet.
So it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Can it?
You've also done 110 episodes of a Magic podcast, so welcome to knowing how the game works pretty well.
Are you saying I'm good at Magic?
No, never. Never would say that.
All right. So that's it for news. Thanks, you know, as always, for listening to the news. Before we get into the main bulk of the podcast, we need to do our basically advertising / shoutouts. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. I am at the MMCast.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media. No, you're at Kes Wiley. We are at the MMCast.
Yes, what Ben just said. And he's at Ben Bateman Media. We have a Patreon. Make sure to go to Patreon. Please donate. Starting in January, there'll be a slightly new system, so it'll be updated for that. But it's how we kind of do cool stuff. It's how we do YouTube videos every week. It's how we buy new equipment. It's how we pay for this podcast. Next, make sure to check out. We're actually on a new site, so people might not know this. We're on collected.company now instead of rocketjump.com.
Yep.
So make sure to go there. Jimmy and Josh are also there from the Command Zone. They're our sister podcast. They do awesome content. They've been doing these cool gameplay videos that I'm going to be on the next one. They'll do one every month where they get kind of like it's a reality TV show version of playing Commander. Twitter, we did. YouTube. Last but not least, make sure to go to YouTube channel. We're releasing YouTube content there all the time. If you go to youtube.com/TheMMCast, you'll be able to find our YouTube versions of the video. Make sure to subscribe there, especially if you're listening right now on YouTube. You should subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on iTunes or something else, also subscribe. Just subscribe to us in any way possible. We even have a magazine subscription you can pay for.
Don't have that. And then and last two things quickly before we get to the rest of the thing. One is that Kessler was on Sean Penrod's podcast, MTG Pro Tutor, this last week, and I listened to the episode, and it was great. Kessler mentioned me and acknowledged that I existed once, so that was cool.
Convinced you do exist. Isn't this like this could be a Wonderful Life kind of situation? Not a Wonderful Life. Wrong movie. What's the one
Sixth
where
Sense? Is that what you're thinking about?
No. What's the one where he like is a super scientist but also imagines everything around him? Beautiful Mind. There we go.
And this next episode is called Tangent. Kessler was on that. It was great. And Sean does awesome content, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, make sure to check it out. It was really fun being on the podcast. We talk about where Magic started, all the stuff I've been working on separate from Magic, top decking, all that good stuff. So
yeah,
go check it,
cool.
it out. It's a good place.
And the last thing that we would like to mention is a big shout out. Is that we want to give a shout out to @TheGreenMage on Twitter.
Yes. So he donates to the Patreon, and we accidentally forgot him in our song, but he's also actively our friend on Twitter as well. So we want to give him a secondary giant thank you for donating to the podcast, being our friend, listening to the podcast, and
interacting and saying things that are fun and asking good questions. And we're so sorry we missed you. We were doing our best to stay in tune, and I was trying my best to Nickelback out, but still pronounce names correctly. And
can you say his name in your Nickelback voice? Just a
Green Mage.
Yeah, perfect. All right, there you go. Make that a ringtone. All right, now it's time for the MMCast Year in Review. We're going to do this month by month. So starting with January,
cool.
It was cold outside. I was in Hong Kong for the first 10 days, as I will be this year. And Oath of the Gatewatch spoilers happened.
Yeah. It was cool. We were leading up to the Pro Tour. And I remember the Splinter Twin banning. And it happened.
That was the next one.
Wait, we're going to talk about January. We have 12 months. We don't have that much time today.
Fair. All right. And the other thing that happened was Splinter Twin and Amulet Bloom getting banned out of the format.
Well, because the two things, the reason that these are related is because the spoilers for Oath of the Gatewatch started coming out, and we all started being like, wow, these cards are really busted. I'm on one of the group chats I'm on Facebook. A lot of the guys from Team East West Bowl are on there, and I remember Thought Not Seer getting spoiled and everybody being like, it's like a 4-4 V-click, but better. And everybody was freaking out, and I was at the movies that weekend after the set had been spoiled and everything like that, and Splinter Twin got banned along with Bloom, and I just remember, like, it was like 40 minutes before this movie started, and I just remember checking our Twitter, and it was like it was crazy. It was like we got so much interaction that night. Do you remember when Splinter Twin got banned?
Oh yeah, it was a huge.
It was like the biggest level of interaction we've ever had. It was crazy. It was like every 2 minutes you'd reload and you'd be maxed out on notifications.
Bad as Splinter Twin getting banned was for me personally, as a person who had the deck Splinter Twin built.
Yeah.
Having our Twitter blow up, that was probably in the long term going to be better for me.
Yeah, and it changed the face of Modern.
And this podcast. And the whole, people hopefully listening because of that happening.
You know, the whole next little section of what we're going to talk about, and we'll get through all of it, changed Modern a lot. And those two things, Oath of the Gatewatch as a set introducing a new archetype to the year was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then the banning of Bloom and Twin. And in fact, there are still versions, well, not of Twin, really, that anyone plays anymore. There's a version of Bloom that I see people play sometimes, though, with Azusas.
Well, I think there is Twin. I see different versions of, like, them trying to play Twin with Kikijiki instead. I see blue-white, you know, red Kikijiki decks. I've seen Teemer ones. I've seen straight blue-red. I think also all of the, like, the wall 0/4 thing in the ice decks are kind of adjacent to what that deck was beforehand.
Just without the combo.
Without the combo. Blue Moon also still exists, but that was the thing before. But yeah, I do agree that it kind of definitely shot the format in a different direction, and is probably one of the most significant changes to Modern in all in one moment. Oath of the Gatewatch and Twin and Bloom being banned all in the same day or at the same release is kind of one of the biggest shifts in Modern's history. Because it literally goes from, like, Twin is a format, super interactive, to Eldrazi Winter.
Yeah, it was really one of those. It was definitely a funny sequence of events, the two things, the one following the other. It makes you wonder what would have happened if Twin had been legal the whole time Eldrazi Winter was happening. How would that have gone?
I do know, Andrew Brown said this when we were talking to him. If Twin was still around during Eldrazi Winter, he just would have played Twin.
Yeah.
During the Pro Tour. So,
somebody would have beaten him, because as good as that deck was, when the Eldrazi deck had Eye of Ugin, it was like the most disgusting, busted, ridiculous, out of control deck ever.
Could it kill you before turn four?
It couldn't kill you, but it could, like, it could just crit. Like, I mean, it could play so many resources. Yeah, yeah. There's no way that a Twin deck could recover from that.
Just go in infinite. All right, but yes. And that brings us into February. Pro Tour, Oath of the Gatewatch, and the start of Eldrazi Winter.
Well, this was just quickly to actually, last thing to add to that point, the reason that matchup would be problematic is because you're not dealing with a V-click situation. I guess with V-Click, it goes to the bottom of the deck, but like, or like a Tide Hollow Sculler situation. The reason Thought Not Seer is so nuts is because the card's exiled. So if you exile the combo piece from their hand and they draw a card, great. They only have so many combo pieces in their deck.
Sure.
You take the Twin out of their hand before they can play their Twin, their Twin's gone.
Yeah.
They can't get
that. One of Splinter Twin's biggest matchup problems is always discard, and this is that.
It's not V-Click reshuffling from the bottom. So.
Yeah, it's like better than Thoughtseize.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So February, Pro Tour of the Gatewatch and the Eldrazi Winter begins. So this is significant just because it's one of the few times two different teams completely broke the format in half. Just like two different decks, both Eldrazi, literally not another deck really survived after this.
Yeah, it was the SCG guys and the East-West Bowl guys.
Yeah, and this put East-West Bowl on the map, which is now probably one of the three most important teams in paying attention to Magic teams out there.
Yep.
This was extremely insane and fun to watch and extremely detrimental to Magic over the next 3 months, or Modern.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. It was great for a Pro Tour and then not great for the season that followed. It was very cool to see a lot of our friends were involved with East-West Bowl, and it was cool to see them face off on the biggest stage ahead against like the biggest names in Magic. It was also one of those fascinating things where you're like, it's really cool to remember that it's not all just like play skill. It's a lot of this game is designed and the smartest minds understand it the best. And those smartest minds, when you put them on a team, will come to similar conclusions and you break formats. That's how you solve them. That's why Standard rotates like it does. And with this, they introduce new cards and the same thing happened. The best deck has come up. It was a different version of the same deck from two different teams. But it was so cool. The, you know, Chalice main deck, Spirit Guide, like, Andrew talks about it on his last episode on the cast, that his greatest experience at competitive Magic. He talks about that Pro Tour and how like next level it was to be going against with this brand new tech, and they had both come to the same conclusion, and like just the mind games and the levels with those games. It's pretty cool stuff to watch.
Yeah. Next is March. Not much happens. This is mid Eldrazi winter. GP Detroit, I think, was in March, and it was vaguely just a sign that, oh, this is when we all learned that Eldrazi window was happening. The format wasn't going to self-correct. One thing, you know, Geist, I think it was Holy versus Demonic or something along those lines.
Oh,
the
sure. Deck,
so we got some sweet Geists out there in the world. That's March. We're going to move on because April is significantly more significant.
Oh, we had Jerry Thompson on in that month. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
We had Jerry Thompson on, and he did like a whole like, this is how I brew, and this is what I come up with. That was a really fun episode. It's a fun one to go back and listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we should talk about our episode.
And we did the Planeswalker tournament in March.
Oh, because it was March Madness.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
That was fun. That was fun. And I think in the end, it was Liliana won the tournament, right?
Yeah, Liliana beat Ugin.
Did Ugin make it, or was it Karn?
Karn.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah, because they definitely beat each other, and they're definitely the exact same.
Card.
Like the same card.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. and that was our first two-part episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, who shot Mr. Burns, part one and two.
Yeah. Next is April. And a bunch of stuff happened in April. Shadows of Yennefer was released. Modern bans, Eye of Ugin. Modern unbans, Sword of the Meek and Visions. The Platinum rewards went into flux. And the end of the Modern Pro Tour.
Yeah.
This is another
huge moment
for... Like, as we mentioned before, how Eldrazi Winter changed the face of Modern, the big thing it did was it killed the Modern Pro Tour. It and the Splinter Twin banning together, and the response to the Splinter Twin banning just made it so Wizards realized, you know what? Modern is popular now. We no longer have to enforce it. What we need the Pro Tour to be, which is an advertising event for a new set, makes it so a comfortable format isn't something that works. So we need to...
Still something I'm very disappointed about.
Get rid of the Pro Tour.
I still wish that it existed.
I'm excited to see how, and GP Vegas next year is going to be a kind of an example. I do want to see, and I like world, you know, the World Championships has this. I want to see a more separated, formal version of a Modern big tournament.
Is GP Vegas in April or June this year?
It is in May.
May?
I believe.
That's what I meant when I said April or June.
So of all the months you guessed in that time, you did not guess the correct one.
So we have Shadows of Innistrad came out. It was a big set. The banning of Eye of Ugin, which obviously at the time there was a chance that a lot of us thought they would ban both Temple and Eye, or possibly even Thought Not Seer. It's good that they handled it the way they did. Smart minds up there.
Eye of Ugin was, I think, doing the most generate stuff. I mean, the other ones were less problematic. This hurt Tron a little bit, but that's also not a bad thing based on how many pieces Tron got out of Oath as well. So
Platinum reward changes. This was a big one, and we had a couple different people on within a couple weeks here. I believe we had Matt Sperling and Paul Rietzel both on right around then to talk about it. But they basically retroactively went and changed the rewards that certain players were chasing for the following year in the middle of a season, and for about a week there before they went back on what they said. And the changes
are still happening, but what they changed, I believe, and I might be wrong on this, but basically what they changed was, instead of it being retroactively applied to things that people had already earned, it will only take effect for people in future seasons, so that people working on things won't attempt to do things without the actual reward promised.
Yeah, because and it was a huge problem. I mean, I think I seem to remember Paul saying, you know, don't panic. I have faith in this game. I have faith in them to listen to us, and they'll hear the words of the important people in the community. And I don't think that this will stand. And he was right. He was right. It changed for the better. Yep. And the other huge thing, and it's funny because normally unbanning Sword of the Meek and Ancestral Visions would have been huge. But in the hubbub of that month, I sort of feel like it got kind of lost. It wasn't as big of a deal as it should have been.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is that they didn't have a huge effect on the format. Sword of the Meek kind of didn't do anything in Modern. And Visions has definitely, you know, it's seeing play, but it's not anywhere close to dominant. It's just a random value card that some control decks play.
I can't believe Sword of the Meek is still as irrelevant in the format as it is.
It really leads me to believe that there are just a few cards on the ban list still that probably wouldn't have that big of an effect on the format and are there more out of legacy than anything else. The one thing I do want to talk about, April, because this kind of was the moment that the year tipped. If I were to say that Modern was represented by two phases this year, it would really be kind of the Eldrazi phase and the Innistrad phase, because really it was dominated by Eldrazi until Shadows Over Innistrad came out, and then since Shadows Over Innistrad, Dredge has kind of dominated the format and graveyard strategies. So really the difference between those two periods is so starkly specific to also the theme of the set coming out that I'm interested to see how good Affinity is starting next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seeing if Wizards can keep that up. Next is May, and the big thing in May was more for us and you guys, because that's when we did our live episode, which was our first big live event in a location with an audience, but that was Grand Prix Los Angeles, which
was such
the
a
Modern
fun
GP
event.
We both
had
to play. Yeah, super fun. I took Tesserator to it, hoping that Sword of the Meek was better than it is, and it wasn't, and I didn't make day two.
I was doing a coverage piece for Machinima Inside Esports on the Go90 app, which I actually just got all the footage finally. I have it now, so I can use it and like put it in my reel and stuff. Because it was all on Go90. It's one of these paywall things. This is like, for those of you that like watch a lot of YouTube or content and don't realize, the way of the future now is that every company realized if we just give free video away, we'll have like limited advertising opportunities and we'll never be able to monetize it because nobody wants to pay for it. They'll just get the content somewhere else for free because everybody was doing free content for so long. That's why every single one of these big companies invested and was like, we're going to build a paywall. So you download the app, and if you download the app, you pay this much money and you can have all this great content. Problem is, no one wants to pay. So these paywalls exist and nobody sees the content. So right. You get hired to do it and you're like, I did this cool thing for this big brand that you know of. And they're like, where can I see it? And you're like, go download this app for $2.99 or whatever, and then you can see it. And they're like, I'm never going to do that.
Some of that also is, I think, the successful model is you just have to be established already. The way Netflix pulled it off was people already had Netflix accounts. The way Hulu pulled it off was it's free, but they are owned by the studio. The way Amazon paid it off, you have an Amazon account already.
Yep.
The way DirecTV is pulling it off, you have a DirecTV account, and you can now use DirecTV on demand or whatever. So, like, I think that's the way of the future.
But that was all built on somebody paying for something before the content
correct
existed.
And that's what, like, I think if you have a large subscription base, then you can start creating video content, no matter what your subscription base is. Like,
yeah,
at Amazon, they started selling books, and now
Star City Games,
the way of the future. So yeah. Star City Games, start making paid wall video content.
Yeah, I guess. So, but anyway, Grand Prix Los Angeles, back to the event itself, was such a blast for us. It was so fun to meet a lot of you guys. We kept hearing from people, why don't you guys have video content? We don't know what you look like. We kept hearing from people like, wait a minute, are you, like, yes, like oh, I recognize your voice because I heard you at this table playing a game. And you're like, yeah, that's what I do.
I started talking really loud wherever I went. I didn't do that.
No.
People noticed me by my laugh, which is interesting. All right, so next we have June, which two important things happened. First, Eternal Masters came out, which was
sweet.
Yep. And sweeter
really for Highlander Roulette than anything else.
Sadly, there was only one Modern reprint in the entire set that was relevant, and that was the Elf.
Yep.
And it was
Heritage
moved
Druid
to Rare, which was also a little bit unnecessary. And more importantly, we got the spoiler for a spoiler card.
Yeah, that was so cool, right? Like, Wizards reached out to us, and they were like, hey, guys, you covered Modern, and we're going to be spoiling this, and we have this card, and it's like a Modern relevant card. Do you guys want to spoil it? And we were like, oh, my goodness, of course we do.
Right.
We lost it. We kind of lost it. It was
amazing. It was super hyped. It was Whispers of Emrakul, which is the Hymn to Torak Delirium card.
And I was about 1% away from tweeting exactly what they told me not to by misreading an email. They were like, examples of things you can't say. And it was like this. And I read it, and I was like, oh, that sounds reasonable. That's not giving the card away. And I was like writing up the tweet. And then I was like, wait a second. And I like reread it, and I was like, just kidding.
Like Magic, you should always read your email, and you should always read your cards.
That was an overstatement. I wasn't 1% away.
July.
Please keep giving us cards.
July. Eldritch Moon came out.
Yeah, yeah, this was like, we had all these cool mechanics like Emerge and things like that.
This is a set that almost, and we're going to go for our, where there's going to be like the best of the year awards at the end of this, but I thought Eldritch Moon was, I thought it had more, like it has like five or six extremely important, powerful cards that it added to Modern, and it had a very large variety of which decks it helped. It just wasn't, it's a small set. So it like, and it didn't have like an Oath of the Gatewatch thing where it literally every card for a specific archetype was created.
You have this thing where you actively mispronounce things even after you know that how to
Eldritch.
Pronounce.
Eldritch.
Okay, I was just going to ask. So the clarity is that it is in fact Eldritch.
Yeah, that's Eldritch how, is what I was saying. Eldritch is yes. How you say it.
Okay. Heartstone. Heartstone.
Hearth. Stone. All right.
Yes, Eldritch Moon came out, and yeah, I mean, there was like, I thought the mechanics in Eldritch Moon were awesome.
Well, I mean, like, Grimflayer came out of it. Liliana is seeing play.
Traverse the Ulvenwald.
Bedlam Reveler. Traverse the Ulvenwald. Spirit.
The Spirit. Oh.
The one you like. Spell Queller. Eldritch Evolution. Selfless Spirit. Haunted Dead.
Yeah, there's a bunch cards. Of sweet ones. All right, we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Yep. And... next is August, Conspiracy 2. Biggest reprint, once again, was a uncommon move to rare in the form of
Inquisition of Kozilek. Yeah.
Which definitely was a card that they were like, okay, when's the next time we can print this into a set after they couldn't get it into Oath of the Gatewatch? And they were like, Conspiracy. Because it also doesn't make sense in that set as like a playable card, which
right.
is fine. I'm glad they reprinted it. I'd rather they reprint stuff and sometimes you just, oh, I won $13 that I can't play in my deck. And then From the Vault Lore... which was another kind of, oh, none of these cards reprinted really affect the format necessarily.
Yes. It's just, they're just cool. Better for Highlander Roulette than anything else.
Jitte. Actually, the only cards that were modern legal or modern legal sets were both banned in Modern, which was fascinating. September, we got, this kind of, it was like Legacy Summer. We had From the Vault, Conspiracy, Eternal Masters. It's fair. September, Kaladesh happened.
Kaladesh is sweet.
You love this set.
I really like Kaladesh a lot. It's funny because it hasn't made as big of a modern impact as I kind of thought that maybe it was going to, but it's just chock full of kitschy cards that do clever things, that are cool, that have lots of interactions, super like Rube Goldberg machine-y, just very cool. It's my kind of set. It's also the kind of set that I think is going to see some play now, but in eternal formats, more casual formats. Like, I think over the years, you're going to see a lot of the cards from Kaladesh go unexplored now and become things later on, which is like what happens with a lot of my favorite sets. Like, a lot of the stuff from Mirrodin Block, the first Mirrodin Block was sort of like that. Time Spiral was kind of like that. There's just a lot of complex stuff going on with Kaladesh. Everything's kind of right on the edge of powerful enough, which is what makes it so fun.
I mean, and the big thing that kind of Kaladesh, the two big things, I think, you know, it created the enemy fetch fast lands, but then I think the big one was Cathartic Reunion. Cathartic Reunion is the thing
big
that just
card,
has,
yeah.
like, given Dredge such a huge shot in the arm that, like, it's almost become a problem.
Right.
I do want to say, though, I think Dredge is affinity-esque, where it's very dominant now, but it's also because it came out of left field, and I think if people really designate the right graveyard hate towards it, it's a deck that might be feasible. So I don't know how much it needs to be killed by a ban,
yeah.
But I definitely think it is obviously overtly powerful.
Yep.
The other thing that happened in September was GP Atlanta. I made day two of a GP. What?
He didn't really. He's just making that up. That didn't really happen.
Didn't happen. You can look it up. Isn't like Planeswalker Points.
Okay, fine.
Planeswalkerpoints.com.
I guess
I
need
that's the website.
I guess I need to start trying to make day two of GPs again, so I have two
you did
now.
It. Yeah, yeah. You have to beat me. You still owe me how many dinners? all right, November. We're getting towards the end of the year. Commander 2016.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to think. Was there a major reprint in Commander 2016 for Modern even? Not that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, the Commander sets,
They're awesome. I mean, like, as
from,
far
yeah,
as...
from a product point of view, they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Well-designed. Not modern. A lot of value. Like, just not my cup
You're
of
not
tea.
Excited about all the cool foil cards you know of X's too?
There's no foil cards. That, oh, do you mean the, like, the new...
Every legendary creature is a foil card.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple. There's that sick Rakdos Gutter Snipe that I like.
Yeah. There's the blue-black Ophidian Snapcaster Mage for artifacts.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sweet cards.
Yeah. See? All right. December, last but not least, is the year we're month we're in now. Plane Chase compilation set, which may have came out in November, came out. This is not super exciting, other than the fact that there are more Baelstra Strix. I'm gonna get it because I love these things, but I don't know if there's anything super relevant. And Vopter Pi Network, which is the holiday theme card, which is a joke on Vopter Spy Network. And instead of tokens, you have to put your tokens all have to be made out of food.
Right. It's unglued-esque.
They're all unglued. That's their silver border. Yeah. That's like their thing. For the people that don't know, Wizards of the Coast releases a holiday card every year in silver border. So silver border means it's not legal in any format other than silver bordered format. So unglued, unhinged are the only two actual sets printed this way.
I wonder.
And they're all like punny jokes based on Christmassy things and existing cards.
I wonder if I tweet right now, do you like unglued? Yes, no, don't care what the response would
be. Here's the thing with unglued. Unglued gets tons of yeses.
Yeah.
People like that unglued exists. No one's going to buy it.
Nobody likes to play unglued?
No one likes to pay for unglued.
Oh, would Ziggy Ansah also qualify as a football player with a Star Wars name? People love the Star Wars football segment. Just checking our notifications.
All right. Okay. Now, it's time for the Best of the Year Awards, where me and Ben have each picked our pick for Best of a Thing. The categories are Best New Card, Best Returning Card, Best Set, Best Supplemental Product, Best New Deck, Best Returning Deck, and Best Episode of the Year. That's the gold ribbon. That's the like best
episode
film.
Of the year?
Yeah.
That's Best Picture?
Yeah.
But so if that's Best Picture, what's Best Director? Like, how could we be controversial if with Best Director winning one and Best Picture winning the other? It would be like if we were doing Best Guest. That's what it would be.
Yeah. Which we were originally doing and then decided not to because we couldn't choose because we liked all of our guests so much.
And we're so thankful to have all those
guests. Yeah, I don't want to like, yeah.
Rank them. Yeah. Well, and also like, again, like guests are just, they're valuable for completely different reasons. Like,
yeah.
We've had great episodes where we have tons of insight from like a Magic Insider versus we've had episodes where we have like a totally comical, hilarious episode. One's like vastly fascinating. The other's like super entertaining.
I mean, everyone from the professor to Sam Pardee to Gary Thompson to
Jerry Thompson. I think, unless I'm wrong, correct me.
You're probably right, yeah. Knowing me. Matt Sperling, Andrew Brown, Corey Burkhart. Like, we had, you know.
Yeah, a lot of really good guests this year.
So let's go through it. All right. Best new card. And by the way, as always, when we do these things, there are actually two options. We're going to tell you both of them, and you get to decide who wins on Twitter probably at some point. So, best new card, the nominees and actual cards are Prized Amalgam versus
Thought Not Seer. And I like the argument for these two cards, obviously, is one is the premier card in the best deck right now. The other one was the premier threat in the best deck before major bannings, but managed to survive post major bannings.
Yeah, I think the argument for me here is I think as much as Prize Amalgam literally just breaks Dredge in half, I think Thought Not Seer is the best creature of the year, new creature.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be they're not going to ban anything else that. I mean, unless they ban Temple, which I don't think they're gonna do.
I don't think Thought Not Seer is ever going to be banned. It's good enough that, totally be honest, should see play probably in other decks other than Eldrazi. And banned Eldrazi is still probably a tier one deck. I would consider it a tier one deck. A lot of people consider it one of the best decks in the format and probably underplayed right now.
Well, this is something I will say. Okay, so if you were to, as an experiment, as a player, like a really good player, I'm talking somebody who's like a Corey Burkhart level player who can take something that's maybe a little bit off the beaten path and try to make it good, and you were to change out your mana base in just a traditional deck that's not playing Thought Not Seers, to not utilize Fetch Shock mana bases, but to utilize like
Painland,
Fastland Painland mana bases that were heavily Painland dependent, I wonder how much worse you would be by percentage. I wonder, like, nobody does this because it's we're way past it. Nobody's going to try it. But I wonder, because if it was the case that if you were a good enough player that you could be like, all right, I'll construct it this way and play a little differently, then all of a sudden, Thought Not Seer just becomes an insane threat in a Jund deck. It just becomes, like, a great card in an Abzan deck.
Sure. I think the reason to do that, like, I don't think it works in Jund, and the reason it doesn't work in Jund is because of Liliana. I think Painlands are really problematic when your deck has a bunch of double pip, so, like, two mana cost symbol cards, because you are then going to end up paying a lot of life on them. But if you have it as, you know, a bunch of, you know, two colorless and a black, two colors and a green, two colors and a red, it works a little bit better. And in that world, I think that a Thought Not Seer could be a very playable card in other decks.
Totally.
So I definitely think, Thought Not Seer is kind of the best card of the year.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
This is kind of like the best writer category where they like throw it up in the very beginning of the Academy Awards so that you then like starting off in like a slight bang. All right.
Well, no, what always happens at the Academy Awards is what they do is it's best writer is like a little more middle. It's like best supporting actress or like supporting actor will be one of the first ones because it's like a big award that's like not the biggest. And then they'll go soft for like an hour and then you'll get back to like real
the
ones.
The big four.
They start you out with like something pretty decent, like supporting actor.
Right.
Yeah. Keep going.
All right. Best returning card.
You skip favorite cards.
Oh, sorry. No, we'll do that after best returning card. Oh,
okay, sure. Yeah.
So best returning card. We have two here, and these are a little bit more. Narcomoeba and Koth. So Koth being the premier card out of Scred Red, who just won one of the GPs of the year.
Premier threat, yeah.
Premier threat. And Narcomoeba, and Narcomoeba, I think, is the card that has been in Modern the longest. Didn't really see play forever, and then now has come back in a big way. And I think it's a more important card to the deck it's in than anything otherwise in the Dredge deck. To be totally honest, they could ban any other piece out of Dredge other than of the older cards, and the deck would still probably be functional. I think Narcomoeba is like this big, unique card that's definitely something to focus on.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of like we've made the argument before. When were you ever going to see the card Splinter Twin in another deck? It didn't mean that Splinter Twin, the card, and the deck weren't ridiculously important and powerful in the format.
Sure.
Same thing. I mean, Prized Amalgam's not going to show up in other decks. Neither is Narcomoeba, but they all work together in conjunction to make this incredible thing. Whereas, and I mean, I guess Koth has only shown up in one deck, really, now. One really good deck.
Yeah.
But Koth is one of these cards. There's a set of cards that cost 4 mana in Modern that are always head-scratchers. Like, the power level here is so high. How can this not be more of a thing? We always ask ourselves. It's like that with a lot of 4-mana Planeswalkers. Tezzeret, Azen of Bolas is another one that's like very much like that. And you always look at the card and you're always like, I have to be able to make this work. And this is an example of somebody really making a very powerful, very well-liked card work in a Grand Prix winning deck. So that was pretty sweet.
Sure. One other thing on Narcomoeba, I do think, so there's a lot of talks about banning cards from Dredge.
Yep.
And stuff is getting thrown. You know, Prized Amalgam is a card that people are considering. Golgari Gravetroll, because it was already on the ban list, is a thing people are considering. Cathartic Reunion, because that's the thing that made it way too powerful, is a thing keeps saying. I think Narcomoeba, if you want to damage Dredge in a way that is consistent in a card that they're not going to reprint in any function, like all those other cards are cards that could see reprint. Like Cathartic Reunion is a card that another version of Cathartic Reunion is going to see printing somehow. There's going to be another discard X cards more than one to draw X cards more than two. Like that's going
to
happen.
Do you think the deck would be able to function well without Narcomoeba?
I don't know. I don't believe. I don't think it. I think it loses a lot of its power.
Yeah,
I don't think it loses all of it because I think you can just play more of the actual. They cost mana to bring it back into play.
Right.
Cards versus Narcomoeba. I think Narcomoeba definitely makes it a less powerful deck in a way that makes sense to me. That's what I would pick personally.
Hmm. Interesting.
Loves the deck,
I'm sure that this is a conversation we will be having again early part of the year. It's a big hot button issue right now.
Yeah, I think Narcomoeba is that card. All right. So, what's your favorite card this year? This is more personal.
My favorite card to come out this year is Saheeli Rai. I haven't seen it do enough in Modern for it to qualify in any kind of a power level list. I have a deck I've been kicking around that I played a bunch of games against Kessler last week with, and it actually did surprisingly well. Like, not on the back of Saheeli necessarily, but mostly on the back of Ensnaring Bridge, which is just a card that just wins Magic games in an unfair way often. But Kessler will attest, I believe I won 4 out of 5 games with this brew, and you played Gauntlet, and like you drew poorly, and the deck I was playing wasn't well tuned, but I mean the Saheeli liquid metal coating combo was part of the engine, and Saheeli's really good. That card's really, really good. It did interesting things against you, and I was surprised with how resilient the deck actually was playing against real decks. So I think that card's really good. I mean, I don't think it's one of the most powerful, but I think there's space there, and I just love the card. I think it's cool.
Sure. Mine was, and this is favorite, so there's no wrong. Bedlam Reveler was mine.
Card's so sick.
Bedlam Reveler is so sick. It's basically Treasure Cruise meets a discard outlet meets a Prowess 3-4 meets Tassiger. It does like all these different things that I love doing, all in one little sweet package, all in one color. I've casted this a lot over the last 6 months. I'm a big fan.
I mean, yeah, it's a 3-4. It's a 3-4 for two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
When it goes off, that draws you three cards.
It's crazy.
I like, it feels so powerful.
Yeah.
All right. So, next category, best set.
And this is best, not favorite, because I already made it very clear my favorite set of the year has been Kaladesh. I really, really, really liked Kaladesh. But from the conversation of best in terms of power level, what it's added to the format, that conversation.
There are two sets in contention. And once again, it's kind of on that line of this year has been separated into two real meaningful halves, the Eldrazi half and the Innistrad half, or the Graveyard Shenanigans half. And so these two decks, these two sets, Oath of the Gatewatch and Shadows Over Innistrad, did significant things to the format in different ways. Oath of the Gatewatch destroyed Modern. It's like the iceberg, not destroyed, but like it literally took a huge swing at Modern, knocked it out for a couple rounds, and it came back.
It was the grunge. It was the grunge to the hair metal that existed before.
Yes,
because grunge killed hair metal. For those that don't realize.
we'll go over the cards, but you know the three big cards: Thought Not Seer, Kalidus, Displacer. But it really like the Eldrazi cards offered by that set are kind of where it comes out, where it's. Hissing Quest, you know, the Manlands, Oath of Nyssa, right. Eldrazi Mimic, Warping Whale, Eldrazi Displacer, Kozilek's Return, Matter Reshaper, Kalidus, Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher, and Worldbreaker all offered powerful options to the format. And those are just the staples that doesn't go into stuff like there's the -2/-2 colorless card that you scry one, and there's Kozilek that sees play once in a while. You know, there's these other cards on the fringe, but obviously had a huge effect on the format. But it's kind of insular, so the opposite side of that is Shadows Over Innistrad, where it doesn't necessarily, you know, A, it added Insolent Neonite and Prize Amalgam, which are the reason Dredge exists.
Nahiri, Thing in the Ice.
And then on top of that, it offered other active, so Traverse the Unwalled, Thing in the Ice, Nahiri, Westvale Abbey. These are all cards that different decks kind of got uses out of, making the format more diverse by itself versus something
Wait, Traverse like... Traverse is out of Shadows?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I thought Traverse was out of Eldritch Moon for some reason.
Nope.
Interesting. I think that there's, and I've said it before on here, but I'll say it again because we are talking about it. My vote for the most powerful set, for the best set, is Oath. Just because of the divine impact that it had, it required bannings. I mean, it killed the Pro Tour.
It's so uniquely, specifically powerful. I think it's the most powerful set in regards to Modern since... Concept Arc here block.
Yes. What I would say about Shadows, though, I mean, Traverse is one of those cards that it's sort of like, I don't think Traverse of the Ovenwald is super powerful right now. I think that card is fringe playable in Modern. You see it played in some people's decks, but that's a card to me, as we go forward, as we build more and more and come up with more and more things, people are going to find ways to use that card in a much, much, much more interesting, not like Jund Delirium kind of a deck. It's going to be like this is the best version of a tutor I can get because it's one mana. It's one mana, which is what Modern's about. And it's efficient and it gets you what you want. I think Traverse is going to be a card that's around for a long time. People are going to find ways to use it.
Well, we've talked about lists. You know, when Josh Kim was on during our esports episode, we talked about his teamer Reveler list. So I definitely think there's places for this card. But yeah, I agree. Oath of the Gatewatch will go down in history as one of the most powerful sets out of the Modern.
Yep.
All right, next. This is a little bit of a softball, best supplemental product.
I mean, there's really just a couple options, and I'm not choosing Commander 2016, so I'm going Eternal Masters. Unless you like Conspiracy or something, but I'm assuming you're going to go.
It's Eternal Masters or Commander 16, and if you play Modern or you're more competitive or you like multiplayer, that's where you're going to lean. I think they are completely different audiences, too, so it lets you lean in different directions. Conspiracy 2 was not as good as Conspiracy 1, in my opinion.
No, it was less impactful. People didn't care as much, it seemed like. And maybe it was the quality of the cards, I don't know, but it didn't make the same kind of impact.
The Draft Matters cards weren't as exciting. The color-specific ones were kind of meh. And so, you know, it just kind of went in a direction that I wasn't super interested in.
Yep.
All right, next. Best new deck.
Okay, this one's interesting, and I see what we have written down here as your choice and my choice.
What's your choice?
My choice was the Caleb Durward Spirits deck, the Bant Spirits deck. And the reason I say that is because I really genuinely think that there was a hunger for this archetype amongst players that remember Delver decks and Spirit decks, and like the card Drogskull Captain, I know, is a card that I had tried to make work a number of times. A lot of people that I had talked to felt the same way. It was just a cool deck in Standard, and it always felt like it was right on the edge. You know, people that used to play fairies, in Standard, I think that there was kind of a similar thing where like people
does a lot of what the fairies decks used to do, but instead of Bitter Blossom, you have Collected Company.
Yeah, and I just think it's a really cool deck. It's a cool use of all the different things that we have in Modern, and it's unique. It's doing something that none of the other decks are doing, and obviously it hasn't, you know, made a massive impact. People know how to play around it, but it's powerful enough, in my opinion, that when the format shifts, and you know, I think this is a deck you're going to see hang around, and I'm happy that it's something a good player championed, because I was championing my own Esper version of a Spirits deck. The one thing you miss with this version is obviously you don't get to play Lingering Souls, which is a sorcery speed Esper card as opposed to a flash Bant card, but that's it. What about you?
Mine's Eldrazi. I think the best new deck was Eldrazi.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it's Bant Eldrazi, because I think Bant Eldrazi was kind of solidifying itself as the best version of the Eldrazi deck during Eldrazi Winter, and now has continued itself as the best Eldrazi deck in Modern. So I definitely think that's kind of going to be the biggest, one of the two, unless bannings happen on the other one of the two biggest new decks of the year.
Right.
And the other deck really isn't new, and we're going to get in that category right now, and that's best returning decks.
Yeah, so this is a cool one.
These literally are any deck. What deck do you think was one of the more impactful decks of the year in a new creative way, I guess, would be the way I would say it. Because I think the one card deck we don't have on this list that I now am realizing is maybe a miss is Infect. I think Infect is arguably the third piece of these three.
Yeah, though Infect has been a pretty like heavy contender for a long time.
That's I think this is a category that's kind of the, like, if we were saying what's the best deck in the format right now,
yeah,
Infect is close to the top of that list for me.
Right.
But ignoring Infect, moving on. I have Dredge. Is my best returning.
Big surprise.
We've talked about it. I think best new deck is Eldrazi. Best returning deck is Dredge. Dredge has been around. Obviously, it got so many important pieces this year that it became a real format-defining deck.
I mean, this, as you were saying before we started recording, it seems like the story of the year really was Eldrazi banned directly into Dredge. That's like the major two pieces. I guess the one, actually, if it was going to be three, it would be Splinter Twin banned into Eldrazi Winter, into banning, into Dredge. That would be like the three most important talking points. What I'm going to say is Grixis. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you know, Chapin was on a year ago talking about a version of this deck that was playing, you know, Jace and all these cards, a lot of which have swapped out now. Corey Burkhart has been doing very well playing Grixis, and he came on recently to talk about his experience playing it. It's a slightly different version of the deck, but it's nice to see that it wasn't like a flash in the pan, does really well at a tournament, people figure it out and then stop playing it deck, that if a good player takes it and plays the cards he wants to play, he can, you know, do really well with it. It was cool hearing him talk about Counter Squall and like just like interesting cards. I mean, it's a bunch of good cards. If you're a good player and you work at it, you can do it. And he's a very good player. He did it. So I'm glad to see one of the best players in the world making a statement that if you do it well, Grixis is a thing you can play. So it's back. Thanks, Corey.
Yep. I have talked to many people, and the consensus on their end is that Corey Burkhart is actually just a master at specifically Grixis, but Magic in general.
Yeah.
Possibly more so than Grixis.
Yeah.
So take that in kind. If you love Grixis, I do think Modern is a format that you will be better served if you master a deck and get good at it than you necessarily try a metagame with that deck.
Right.
Corey Burkhart being a prime example.
He's very good.
And last but not least, the Academy Awards Best Picture, the two best episodes of the year.
Number one is Live from Los Angeles, top 10 Magic Cards ever list. That's top 10 favorite Magic Cards by Kessler and I. I think I blow the mic out like six times. We were having too much fun. We were yelling.
Yeah. Well, it was in the middle of LA Live, which is And it was LA Live. It was live from LA. There's a lot of puns in the name.
We had like a group. We had like a decent audience. We were working with the guys from DMTW, which was so much fun hanging out with those guys. They helped us produce the episode. It was really cool. Versus the second one, which would be
The Uncompleted Cycles one, where we went through a bunch of different things of cards that Wizards just kind of hinted at there being cycles and never really completed that cycle. That one kind of wins almost from the level of the most popular. We've probably had the best response to that episode as far as views goes. So I'm giving, you know, me being just strictly from an analysis perspective and not trying to take emotions into it, technically that is the best episode of the year.
Yeah, people like that one a lot. The LA Live episode, it was just a treat in general and just very fun to meet so many people and get to do a live episode from there. And I mean, just that whole weekend, like everything about it was just a blast for us. So
as we wrap this episode up, I do want to ask all of you guys on all of these categories what your pick would be. What is your best new card? What is your best returning card? Best set, best supplemental product, best new deck, best returning deck, and best episode that we did this year. We'd love to hear your feedback. Make sure to tweet at us at the MMCast. To wrap up the episode, I am at Kes Wiley to find us on Twitter.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media. And if you guys want to share your thoughts about these things, we'll tweet a bunch of them, if not all of them, from the account to ask your opinions if you want to vote or share your thoughts.
There was no dinner on the line this time. Ben is resistant because he keeps losing this contest.
I'm never going to buy you those dinners, Kessler.
And we want to thank you guys. Make sure to check us out at collected.company. Check out the YouTube channel. If you're listening on YouTube right now, hit the subscribe button. It's really important. I realized today that we get a lot of listeners on our YouTube channel that aren't subscribers, so we should change that over. Let's get you subscribing. And we want to make sure you guys check out our sister podcast, Command Zone. We want to make sure you go definitely listen to my interview with Sean Penrod on MTG Pro Tutor. It was a really great episode. Get into a lot about content creation. So if you want to hear like how this episode gets made and all that information, go check it out. Ben did The Dark Knight on Action Movie Anatomy. So make sure to check out that.
Oh, yeah, that was this week. We did The Dark Knight. That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And Green Mage, thank you.
Yeah, double shout out.
Sorry.
For those who are forgotten, we will in debt. We are in debt. Thank you all. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.